The doctor was the monk. Sorry, old habits. Here we go. How does a podcast evolve after you've practically solved every puzzy and riddy? You really gotta expand upon your limited brand before your show gets really shitty. You turn to face reality and pray your personalities will carry this last minute pivot through. So here comes the content that nobody wanted. Now it's time for Hate Riddle Riddles Clue Crew.
We're chatting, we're hanging out, we're just lounging, we're lamping, we're relaxing, we're chilling, we're cruising, we're flying, we're all hopped up on goofballs and funny pills. Everybody's having a good time. Welcome back to the Chatterbox.
Oh, we're chatting? I thought we were boxing. Punch, punch, punch!
Ow, ding, ding, ding. Oh, my nuts!
Yeah. We're chatting? I thought... Huh? We're chatting? Never mind.
No, do it.
I was going to say, we're chatting. I thought we were chatting and then try and finagle some sort of Chet Hanks. It's...
No, stick the landing. You got it.
A musician, but no, doesn't have any songs, right?
I think he took the song Black and Yellow and made it... He did a cover of the song Black and Yellow, I think.
I have an inkling that we would know nothing about him if he didn't have a famous dad and mom.
I think you're right.
You know how we didn't get Taylor Swift tickets at all? What if I went, hey, I know we didn't get those tickets, but I got you Chet Hanks tickets. Would you be disappointed?
Honestly, I'd be fascinated. I would go just to be like, I don't know what this is going to be. I don't want to know what this is going to be, but I will show up.
Yeah. I don't know if I want to give him money, but I do want to see what it's all about.
This is how I feel about minor league baseball. I do not want to go, but I would go for free. I'm not gonna pay money to like watch this happen, but like, hey, if the tickets are like someone's office, you know, bought 50 tickets, I'll take one of them, sure.
That's the whole reason. I think it was December 2019, Gemma and I went to see Guar because we were both just like, I don't know any of their songs. I've never listened to the music, but we're both curious. And I think it was both like, we both like Empire Records. There's a very weird scene with Guar. Let's go check them out. And it was incredible. It was indescribable.
I would say I don't really know Michael Bublé's music. Like that's, Guar is like, you're stepping into a thing, because people love Guar, and it's a production for people, you know?
Well, speaking of Michael Bublé, you should check out Guar's Sinatra covers.
Oh my God.
Really strong, really strong.
I just haven't met you yet!
Speaking of crooners, I'm seeing a Harry Connick Jr. Christmas concert this month.
Whoa.
And I've never been more excited for a concert. Everyone's going to be so old, but I'm going to go and I'm going to have fun.
I was going to say, I know a lot of 55-year-old horny moms who are very jealous of you, Aaron.
I know. That's who I'm trying to be.
Do you have a favorite of those? I don't even know. What is a crooner? Because I'm like, crooner in my mind is like, what's the guy? Old Blue Eyes himself.
Sinatra.
Frank Sinatra.
Sinatra.
The aforementioned Frank Sinatra.
He's a crooner, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's a lot of, I don't know if it has to do with like lounge, if you were a lounge act, but it's just a lot of elongated vowels, I guess, or like, it's a whole vibe of like, you wear a suit, a tie, maybe a little pork pie hat or something.
Is Bublé a crooner?
I think so.
Yeah.
What about the Office Space, the character from Office Space who has the same name as him? Michael Bolton. Is Michael Bolton a crooner?
No.
Oh, no, I don't think it doesn't feel like it, no.
Okay.
But my favorites in history, if we're just talking about ever, I like Bobby Darin, Dean Martin.
Yeah.
And then I think Harry Connick Jr. because I love his Christmas album so much.
Yeah. I'd say Dean Martin. I like some Mel Torme.
Okay.
And that might be, I'm trying to think of who else. That might be end of list.
Is Nat King Cole a crooner? Because that would
be, I think so.
Possibly.
In my top three.
Possibly.
Are crooners just people who have done a Christmas album?
I was
just listening to, and we're doing this for Bill Buds this month, but I was just listening to a lot of John Legend's Legendary Christmas. And is John Legend a crooner? He sounds close.
I don't think
no?
so.
No? Yeah, I think I so.
Oh, I'm sorry. You said John Legend. I was thinking John Mayer. John Legend, I would say yes. I think it's also, if you stand on stage with a mic
yeah.
and snap your fingers and do this with your head, uh-huh. I think legally you're a crooner.
Okay.
Someday.
I wish people could see Adel right now because you're exactly right, Adel.
Dreaming of you.
It's the same energy as like the Miss America pageant of like when you're singing for the winner.
That's
here
so
she
funny.
Isn't she American?
Here she is. Isn't she American? Here she is. Isn't
I gotta say,
she American?
If John Legend is a crooner, he's probably one of my favorites. John Legend, I love his voice. He's got a great singing voice.
Amen. I wish Frank Sinatra had been alive to do a crooner lounge version of the Full House theme song.
Wow.
No, the Family
Matters. And it
would
sound a little something like this.
Do-da-ba-ba-ba.
Do this
whatever
way.
Happened to the victimility? Yeah, the milkman, the paper boy. The evening TV.
Well, that's just a little preview of how wild it can get on a chatterbox. That's right.
Is that right, Heath
goes.
Ledger's Joker?
You want to know how I got this chatterbox?
Can I ask you guys a question?
Yes, please.
I know it was only out for like a week, but did either of you get to see Knives Out 2? The Glass Onion.
What's it called, like White Glunion or something?
White Glunion. Yeah, did you get to catch White Glunion, you weirdo?
Which people are calling
Send
the
a message
worst movie
to JPC
title.
Calling him a weirdo. Did you see it?
I am dying to see it, but Gemma and I told ourselves we would wait until it was streaming.
Streaming?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah,
I'm so excited to talk to you both about it. I think it might... keep your expectations low, so maybe I won't say anything, but...
I'm glad that they did a theatrical release of it, but it was like the fact that it was like a 1 week theatrical release. I'm never seeing a movie in its first week anyway. But also, it's coming so soon, right, to streaming. Mm-hmm. Like it's like December or January or something.
Yeah, it's December. Yeah. And maybe it's Christmas Eve. It's very soon in December.
Sometimes with those Marvel movies, which I'll see anyway, because why not? Just to get out of the fucking house for a little bit. when they were like, they'll come to streaming, but they'll come to streaming in like 4 months. I'm like, I can wait 4 months. I can wait 4 months for something like this. But the fact that this was like, you have to wait like 3 weeks. I was like, oh, that's easy to do.
Yeah. I don't feel so confident that I know both of your tastes very well and what you will like, but I am calling it now. That I think you both will say you loved it.
I mean, I love The Knives Out, and I'm very excited. I like the cast. I like Rian Johnson, so I'm very excited to see how this one goes.
Yes, cool. I'm very excited. Aaron, would you be so bold as to say it's better than the first one, or just different?
I think it's going to be a matter of people's taste, but genuinely, yeah. I think based on what you two find funny, I would not be surprised if you say you like this one better.
So a lot of farts and like...
So
a lot of farts.
I'd say mostly farts.
Here's what's funniest to me. Two
farts.
Things. Farts and then immediately an older woman clutching her pearls going, I never. that 1-2 punch of a fart and then an old woman clutching her pearls saying that.
Because
the funniest thing on earth. Very quickly.
No, she doesn't never.
If I may, very quickly. Crooner is a term used to describe primarily male singers who performed using a smooth style made possible by better microphones, which picked up quieter sounds and a wider range of frequencies.
Oh.
So it's basically like rich kids who had like Shure microphones or like Bose speakers.
Oh.
So what you're telling me is I'm a better singer than Frank Sinatra just because I'm using this fucking Rode microphone that fucking kicks ass?
Everyone
That's exactly
in 2022
what we're saying.
Is a better singer than Frank Sinatra.
Old Blue Giles himself. All right, well, we have some questions here, and this one is coming from Elise. Elise, she, they. Elise says, this is a perennial cue, which I love posting that in the chatter box. Also,
That's
if you want
space
to contribute...
between your asshole and your genitals?
Yes,
good.
Thank you. He read that from the same website as he read Crooner from. It was next up, for whatever reason, the definition list. This question says, how are the pets doing? Who's top of the leaderboard in cartoonish mischief this week?
Oh, probably JPC.
Well,
probably JPC.
Yeah, I mean, Aaron, you shared a story of some cartoonish mischief.
Adel, what were you going to say?
I was going to say brisket and fries have been just delightful. Brisket used to be a little mad child, but now he's being very good. So those two are amazing. Coco, who's still a kitten, has been an absolute nightmare. He, we got a Christmas tree 3 days ago, and we got a real one. So we set it up in the kitchen. We have a little base with like water in it and all that. He's been drinking all the water in the tree, so the tree hasn't been getting any water.
Great.
He's been eating the pines. He's been ripping down the ornaments. I mean, a lot of this is on us in terms of like we should have known a kitten would do this.
Yes.
But he has just been an absolute shit. He's been knocking over stuff. He's been, the other day I had a slice of pizza on the coffee table and I looked up and he had bit the crust and then like ran away with it and hid under, like tried to hide under the entertainment center to where I couldn't get to him. So he's lost his brains.
I do love animals stealing food that is bigger than them.
Speaking of cartoonish, it was very cartoonish to be like, you're not going to be able to eat that, my dude. So Coco's been bonkers, but
Coco's like, give me a Lactaid. Yeah. I'll have this whole thing.
But Lou got into some mischief, and I know those three puppies are going nuts. So let's hear some of that.
Well, before we started recording, my quick thing was that Lou got into some edibles. We had to make her throw up, but I was really scared that my dog was going to be high. And that was my big debacle of the week. Not as cartoonish, though. But JPC's animals are...
Coco is loco. Lou has a substance abuse problem. I have these three kittens, and Adel was asking right before we started, three puppies. Adel was asking me before we started recording if I have a favorite, and Mariah and I do like power rankings on a day-to-day basis based on like which one of these puppies is like pissing us off the least. Because they're leash training right now, they're crate training right now, and they're potty training right now. Which has been really great for Mariah and I because we're getting them on like a schedule, but some of them are quicker to get it than others. And right now our favorite is Blue because Blue, like she gets it immediately. We go outside, she pees. You know, she goes to the door when she wants to like go out. She's like, oh, I got to go out. I want to go outside. I want to get a treat. But Eggs just doesn't fucking get it. And like, we'll give him food and then he'll like be like, oh, great. Thanks for the food. I'm just going to piss like right here, right out. And it's like, you're in line to go outside, my man. Like you gotta.
I gotta be honest. If my name was Eggs, I'd pee where I wanted. Just as an act of defiance.
I go, there's literally no point. You already think I'm, you have low expectations for me because my name's Egg. I'm not going to rise to any occasion.
Right now, my power rankings, it's got to be Blue, then Chila, then Eggs. Eggs is at the bottom because Eggs is slow to learn. But sometimes Eggs is at the top because Eggs is a little sweetie and a very little cute guy. Aww. And he got the two different colored eyes. And that's just like, he's going to get adopted so quickly because he's got those two different colored eyes.
He's a little David Bowie.
He's a little Bowie. And in terms of mischief, I'm trying to think of, like, obviously they're just, like, pissing and shitting all over the place because they're dumb babies and they don't know. But the biggest mischief that they've gotten into is yesterday, they were downstairs. Mariah had to go into work, so I was home alone with the four dogs, so three puppies and spaghetti. And I was doing pretty good. And downstairs, they were sleeping, and I was like, oh, good, they're being quiet. They're sleeping. I was like, but I should still go downstairs to check on them. So I go down to check on them. They had woken up, so they were no longer sleeping. I didn't see them on our little puppy cam, and they were all by the back door, just eating the wood at the bottom of the back door. So like, there's like a little beam of wood, like a little, you know, this kind of like step up for the frame of the door, just chewing the hell out of the frame, just eating the wood. And I was like, eating a door? Like, why?
I love to see that.
And the ground is just littered with like bones and rope toys and like toys that I've, you know, gave to them. They're like, nah, we'd rather eat this fucking door, my man. This is the good stuff. So I have like a mixture of vinegar and no, it's like, I can't remember. It's like red wine vinegar or something like that. It's basically, it's like sour and they don't like sour. And I've just had to like spray corners, all the crown molding corners, the door, and it wears off. So I basically like four times a day, I'm just like spraying more stuff to be like, I hope this keeps them off of it. And then the other piece of mischief that they got into is my basement. We've pretty much completely cleared out. By the way, Spaghetti's a very good girl. She hasn't done anything wrong. The basement has been completely like cleared out, but we have like little puppy gates and stuff that they can climb over, but there's nothing.
You had a puppy gate? So was one of them breaking
yeah,
in
so we had the RNC broke into my house and was stealing all the puppy documents. So we have puppy gates, but there's not really anything for them to get into, but there's just like a place where we keep our shoes, you know, our going outside shoes when we're taking them out. So there's like very few things for them to get into. And they had climbed over a puppy gate, and we have like a, it's like one of these like laundry hampers that we use for like the dog towels. And it's one of these like collapsible ones. Like it's not, it's flimsy. But it was positioned right next to the gate. One of them climbed over the gate and just fell into this like laundry hamper full of towels and then started to like try to crush and collapse the hamper to like, you can hear them probably playing in the background. And we came down and they were just like stuck in this like half collapsed laundry hamper. Like, I don't know how I got in here. We're like, yeah, dumbass. Like,
Jane,
you got in here.
Crazy thing.
There's only one thing in here. It's this hamper. You got what you wanted. So yeah, they're a lot of mischief.
It's so funny.
Love to hear it.
Are you sort of hoping that someone you know will want to adopt them? Are you feeling like you're getting scared that you're getting a little too attached, or do you feel pretty good?
No, our whole thing was like, we're going to get them ready for adoption. My hope is that, you know, they're good dogs and that people have a great time with them. But we are absolutely doing this so that they can be adopted. I would love it if like they had, because we're getting them on the schedule, like if they were like potty trained, a little bit leash trained and crate trained by the time they're ready to go and like, they can kind of go into someone's house and not be little nightmares. I think that's best case scenario. And I think they're on their way. They're doing really, really well.
Oh, good.
But no, I'm not keeping any of these fucking dogs. I'm just trying to help these dumb babies not like eat mulch and kill themselves.
And I'm all out of mulch. I don't know what that means.
The next question comes from Sigmund Freud, he, him. Sigmund Freud from the Discord says, you land a starring role in a successful action movie. Would you rather have your own action figure or a cameo in the porno spoof of the movie, assuming you're going to make the same money from either one of these things? So you're in an action movie. Do you want an action figure of you or a cameo in the porno spoof?
Hands down, an action figure. I mean, to be able to have a tiny little version of your character and like put it somewhere in your house, and then anytime anyone comes over, you can be like, oh, this? I mean, that's incredible. Who wouldn't want an action figure of themselves?
Okay. Yeah.
You can give it to friends. You can give it to nieces and nephews. You can give it to cousins. You can give it to dogs and cats.
I didn't think about giving it out as a gift. That's a really smart play on that.
You have a go-to gift for the next 5 years. Anyone you know in your life, you're getting them that, and they'll be thrilled, surely.
Yeah, I'm going to say right now, Adel, you get me a gift that is your action figure. Thrilled is not the word I'm going to use to describe.
I guess, okay, well, what's concerning to me is at first I was a full-blown action figure. I was like, action figure, of course. And then I went,
Now, Aaron.
Yes.
Now, Aaron, if you're in a porn, you might also be a full-blown action figure.
Love it. I think I'm picking action figure, but the other one is very tempting, especially because I'm not in the porn. I'm just a cameo.
Would you, Aaron, would you look at the camera and wink if you walked?
Yeah,
if you walked in? Yeah.
I'm only human.
Is that what you'd say to the camera?
Yeah. Wink.
I'm only human. Which is your action figures, your action character's line. That's a good action line.
Catchphrase.
Kill someone and then say, I'm only human.
Yeah.
Yeah, I basically, I'm already going to be in this action movie, but if I get to be in the porno, now I'm in two movies. So,
good point.
Two movies better than one movie. You know, that's how I'm thinking.
Sounds like we all agree that neither would be about the money, though. Like, well, we would do both of these for free. Yeah.
Hold on. Now, I will say, the action movie, not doing that for free. I'll take SAG minimum on whatever they could be for the action movie. But then the other ones, I think, is icing on the cake.
Now, would you Tom Cruise it and insist on doing all your own stunts?
In the porno?
Yes.
Yes.
No. I'm not an insane Scientologist. I would not do all my own stunts. I'd have the guy who looks like, I'd have my stunt double, who is essentially, I'll say like Henry Cavill. That's the closest to me as we get.
Boo.
Interesting.
I'd have them do the stunts. I'm not doing the stunts. Fuck that.
That's fair.
Okay, here we go. We got your next one. This one is, I mean, this one's also from Elise. Hey, look, if you don't want Elise to have two, then go into the Discord and the Chatterbox topics and write some prompts for us. Elise says, what sort of mythical creature or cryptid do you feel drawn to? Is there a mythical creature or cryptid that you feel drawn to? I'll start. I think my go-to mythical creature is a centaur.
Yeah.
I just love the idea of the mythical creatures that are like half something, half the other thing. I've always like been like, centaurs are very fucking cool. And I remember I was reading a Magic the Gathering novelization when I was younger. I think I was like eighth grade or something like that. And one of the characters is like a centaur. I think that this is, which books are these? I believe that these are the like Onslaught books. It doesn't actually matter. But one of the side characters is a centaur, and I was like, yeah, this centaur is cool as hell.
That's very cool. Yeah,
and you played that in go ahead.
I was going to say a Magic Tavern.
I've played a Fintar in Magic Tavern. I've played a centaur on my friend Pat's old podcast, Making New Friends. I feel like I did a centaur sketch at one point as well. Like, I just, like, I'm any opportunity that I can to work a centaur into things, I will probably take that opportunity.
You drive a Ford Centaurus.
Centaurs, by the way, way cooler than Minotaurs. Minotaurs are like, oh, yeah, like, the upper half of me is like a bull. Like, it's big and strong. And Centaurs is like...
Disagree.
Nah, no way. Now, head of an animal? A Minotaur riding a Centaur? That's my shit.
No, a head of an animal on a human body always trumps human head on an animal body. Always.
Wait, say that again. I want to make sure I understand you.
An animal head on a human body is always way cooler than a human head. So than a human head on an animal body.
No
so
way.
I've said this before. Where I grew up in Kewaunee, Illinois, there was Deer Man, which was a deer head on a human body. And picture that sprinting through the forest, fucking terrifying. Now picture a deer with a human head. That's just fucking Steve, man.
Are we going for fun or terrifying? Because I don't want terrifying. I want to talk to Steve, the deer man.
Yeah, because you're not talking to the deer. You're not talking to the guy with the deer head because he only speaks deer. But when he's got that human head, I'd be like, hey, man, what's up? This sucks. It truly sucks to be what
hey,
I am.
Man. Hey, man, what's up? This sucks.
Hey, Steve, how's it going? Help or kill me.
Oh man, that makes my
I'm gonna say this will be two on the nose for me, but it's the truth. I've always in mythology, I've always loved shapeshifters. Like any creature that can change into something else, that's like the most fun. That to me is like the most fun ability and like super fun and cool. Not like the stuff Zeus does, but any other shapeshifter is very fun and cool. And I also like, what else do I like? I think sirens are interesting just in terms of like their little call, their little screams.
Mm-hmm.
And then
song, you mean.
Yeah. And then any cryptoid that's like a giant something, like a giant bat or something, just like a large scale creatures, I think are real fun, especially if it's like a giant bat that has like jeans on or something. That's always fun. Aaron, what about you?
Do fairies count?
Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, well, then that's my answer. If I had a house in a yard, I would for sure make, like, a fairy house in a tree. I think when you're a kid, like, anything that's, like, in the forest and there's little doors to things, I'm very drawn to that kind of lore.
Aaron, we have to go. I have to take you either to Ann Arbor, Michigan, where there's, like, a ton of little fairy doors everywhere and fairy little houses, or Iceland. Where
they have
42% of the population believes in fairies, and so you'll see little fairy huts all over the place.
I love that.
I'll say this, Aaron, it's probably just not always a slippery slope, but anecdotally, my mom was really into fairies growing up and had like little fairy trinkets in all of the windows because it was supposed to like keep the fairies entertained. And I was like, this is really nice. And now she doesn't believe in germ theory. So just so you know, if you want to have some fairy stuff, make it fun and light, but like let's not let it be like a defining.
I went down the fairy slide and I'm anti-vax.
And then, of course, the question was, what sort of crypto do you feel drawn to? Like Dogecoin, Cumcoin, Bitcoin, obviously.
Cumcoins do.
I'm not a pump and dumper. I'm a hodler. So hodl. These are all the crypto terms I know. Okay, here's the next one. This one's coming from Legati. Legati asks, What were some of your favorite books as little kids?
Anything by Roald Dahl, anything by Shel Silverstein, The Indian in the Cupboard, some amount of Dr. Seuss, although I wasn't super into him. A lot of like factoid books, like there's kid, we talked about Scholastic Book Fair. There was always these books that were like, why dolphins cry, or like, that sounds weird, but it was like animal facts or like weird little oddball factoids. I love books like that.
Wayside School for me was big.
Oh, yes. Lewis
Loved
Thacker.
Wayside
yes.
School.
Yes, 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 yes.
A little later, I got into Animorphs, and then K.A. Applegate had another series called like Everworld, which was more like a young adult. And hey, look, I was at the age, but when I was a kid, I fucking lived for those Harry Potter books. I remember I got the first three books for Christmas one year, and then every time another one came out after that, it was like I would get it and then read it in my room like immediately. I'd try to get through it, like burn through it as fast as possible.
Yeah. So good. I love my the M is for Monster series.
My favorite picture book was Seven Silly Eaters. I don't know if you've heard of it, but the illustrations are like incredible in it. And I loved The Giver. I loved Westing Game. Westing Game was my favorite book growing up. Harry Potter, The American Girl books. I know it's going to sound crazy coming from me, but I loved those. Those Dear America series books. What else?
Aaron, can I give you a little fun Westing Game? I remember reading Westing Game and getting to like the end, and spoiler alert for the children's book Westing Game, but the end, it's like, because Mr. Westing or whatever, and all of the other, there's like four names, and it's like Mr. Westing, Dr. Southard, but they're all like West, South, East, North, and it's revealed that they're all like the same person, I believe in that. But when the reveal hits in that book, which is a pretty easy reveal to guess, like they're all cardinal directions, I remember reading that and being like, oh damn, they did it to me, they got me.
I had no idea, I never saw this coming.
Big twist.
Like, they did get
big
me.
Twist.
Phantom Toll Booth.
Oh yeah,
so good. Love that movie too. My favorite book of all time is a YA novel that I read when I was 13, I think, for the first time. It's called Enthusiasm by Polly Shulman. So that by far my favorite. It's like a...
Hey, buddy. The whistle. Polly Shulman.
It's a Pride and Prejudice like mapping of a couple teenagers.
Staying on the subject of like our school days, what are some of your favorite projects you made specifically in your school days? This is from Curtis. Curtis says, lately, I've been telling the tale of the Super Mario World hack I made based on Hamlet for a high school assignment. So I don't really understand what that means, but were there any like projects that you made in your school days that you were very proud of?
I made you two may not have been alive for this. Do you remember what was it called? The Biodome? Biosphere? Is basically
with Pauly Shore.
Well, yeah, basically that movie was parodying that.
Hello, buddy.
But it was like a billionaire funded this thing in the desert where they made like this big biosphere of like all the ecosystems, and they're like, we're going to put six people in here and have them live there for 5 years just off what they're, you know, vegetables they're raising, the fruit they're cultivating, and whatever that might be. But I remember that being a big thing. And so as a kid, this must have been fourth grade or something, I made my own biosphere for a project where other people were making volcanoes and shit. So I had like different cacti, and I had a Venus flytrap, and I had chopped up vegetable pieces, and I made a little garden. But I was, and I can't remember what I made the biosphere itself out of, maybe some sort of like Rector set or something. But I remember just being very proud of it and people being like, this is very cool.
That sounds awesome.
Aaron, do you have anything?
I have two that I remember. In sixth grade, we did a project on like the Middle Ages, and I used Playmobiles. Is that what they're called? Am I remembering that right? Those little like they're Lego type people. Playmobiles. I don't know.
I don't think you can call them Lego type people.
but I made a whole like medieval street scene out of styrofoam and construction paper. And I don't think I've ever spent more time on anything. And it was like a whole little, like you could look down the alleyway and you could see people dumping like buckets out of windows and like people selling flowers and stuff. And then my Rube Goldberg machine in high school, which they showed for years and years after I did it.
That's incredible. I literally last night, truly not but 12 hours ago, I showed Gemma the opening to Pee-wee's Big Adventure because she had never seen it.
Wow.
Which is just one giant Rube Goldberg machine to make his breakfast.
Mm-hmm.
Was it like that, Aaron?
It was like the Wallace and Gromit one too.
Yeah.
Where it got me out of bed. I don't remember what it did, but I had it be totally vertical, which is mm-hmm. like saves so much time that it basically like went down a poster board. But I did that when I was a freshman, and they were still showing it when I was a senior as the example is the best one.
Can I just say that's so 90s of you to say it was totally vertical? JP, any projects you did?
So the two of them come to mind, and I guess one is less a project. But when I was in high school, I was in AP psychology, and I was not doing well in AP psychology because I didn't give a shit. I didn't even end up taking the AP test for it because I was like, no way. But then later when I got to college, I took like Psych 101 and I just cruised through it because I was like, oh, fuck, I did do all of this. I do remember all of this. But there was one project in there when we were studying the brain, and you had to do two things. You had to do like a some sort of project where it was like split in half where you had to build a diagram of the brain, like a model of the brain, and then you had to like do something else that was like explaining what the parts of the brain were. And me and my buddy Peter, who were in that class, he was a musician. We did absolute dog shit on the building the model part, because what ended up happening is we built it out of like clay or whatever, and it looked like total shit. But we spent a ton of time writing an 8-minute rap song as from the perspective of Phineas Gage, who is the guy who got the like railroad spike like into his brain. And
did
and
he
live.
Keep forgetting the lyrics? I don't know if that's offensive, but
my name is Phineas Steve, Gage. And I'm here to say this sucks.
But we recorded the 8-minute rap song that was all about like the different parts of the brain. And I do remember like some lines of it, but it was like something about the frontal cortex, narrow strip of brain, like the band of my Rolex. And then Peter was like, you don't have a Rolex. And I was like, I know. And that was part of the song. But when we got our grade back from it, we got like, our teacher was nice because she was like, you guys at least tried. She gave us 150% on the song and 50% on the brain. So it like matched out to us getting 100% because the model that we made was pretty dog shit. But then I think in seventh or eighth grade, we had like a thing in class, in English class, where we were supposed to like present a poem to the class, and we could dress up as our favorite character from the poem when we did it. And do you guys know the poem, The Highwaymen?
Mm-mm.
I know the song or the band.
Okay, well, you probably. either way, I picked the poem "The Highwayman," and it's about this like the robber, right? Like a highwayman, and like mm-hmm. his exploits. But I came dressed up as a character from the poem, which is Bess, the landlord's daughter, the landlord's black-eyed daughter, plaiting a dark red love knot into her long black hair. And I had long-ish hair, which my school hated because it was a Catholic school, and I borrowed a dress from my mom. So I just wore one of my mom's dresses and like plaited like a love knot into my hair and then read that poem in front of my class. And my teacher was not thrilled with that.
But like, that you're going to be a comedian, I guess.
I was pretty pleased with that. And it's a really cool poem. I have no idea who wrote it, but check out The Highwaymen.
And also check out The Mask of the Red Death. Underrated short story.
Absolutely underrated short story. Okay, here's the next one. This is from Finn. Finn, they, them. Finn writes, if you suddenly became 50 feet tall, what would you do?
I would march myself over to Home Depot, and I would get a skeleton that was twice the size of me.
Perfect answer.
I would donate my body to Home Depot so they could turn me into one of those and sell me.
Donate Depot.
Mm-hmm. Donate Depot.
I would immediately go to a tea party and then drink little tea out of it. Because I'd look so cute drinking little miniature things.
Now, Aaron, you said you would immediately go to the tea party. Keep in mind that means you have not properly dressed your 50-foot body and you are probably nude.
Okay. Well, then they'll go, Aaron's naked at a tea party again. That's what my friends will say.
Again? I think first thing you got to do is go to a Joann Fabric. Buy 100 feet of cloth and wrap yourself in it.
Okay, we're 50 feet taller and we are dressed. First things first, we get
taller.
You can't just 50
feet tall.
Yeah, we're not like 55.9.
What would I do?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I'm trying to think of how I would spend it. I mean, I'm obviously, hopefully this doesn't happen while I'm in my house, because then I'm dead. Like, how do I get out? Like, I'm like trying to squeeze my way out of a normal door. It won't work. So I hope, let's assume we become 50 feet outside. First of all, it sucks because right now, if I became 50 feet tall, I'm in the winter in Chicago. I'm like, where do I go? Like, I need to go somewhere tonight where I'm not going to die. Like, I got to get out of here quick. I think I would immediately go with like, maybe like, I'd go like alien route where I would be like, take me to your leader. We must negotiate. My people are here for peace. My name is Morbius, first of my kind.
Oh, they'd cut you down immediately.
Yeah, the army would shoot me up. They would put a bunch of bullets in me. I don't know, man. I think I'd be really bummed. I think the first thing I would do is I would have to like try to like figure out why it was okay. I'd have to calm myself down because I'd be pretty sad.
Yeah.
I'd probably finally watch the BFG and be like, yeah, what did they get up to? I've read the book. I've never seen the movie.
I think I would try to swim across like the Great Lakes or something.
Okay.
To say that I did.
I would go just kind of walk around my neighborhood, find anyone who had their dog outside off leash, and I'd pick up their dog and swallow it whole. And I'd say, this is why you have a leash for your dog, because if you had a leash for your dog, a 50-foot giant wouldn't be able to swallow it whole.
Wow.
Yeah. That's a lesson on you, my man. Dog paid the price, but the lesson's on you. If they started mouthing off, I'd pick them up and swallow them whole too.
Of course. Interesting.
I guess I eat a lot of people. I need the strength.
Wait a minute.
I need the food.
I think I'm evil.
I need
the strength.
Are we the baddies?
I love that you can't eat regular food. I need the strength. I gotta eat something.
I gotta have the muscle tissue. I gotta get the.
Eat a fucking sandwich. No. I think I have to eat dogs and people.
Dogs and people, please. I'm a dog and people parent. Okay, so Abe! Exclamation point! Then asks a similar question: if you were suddenly 6 inches tall, what would you do?
I'd immediately
hold on to something, immediately, lest I be blown away.
Immediately, yeah. Borrowers situation. I'm living in people's mm-hmm. walls. I'm stealing their little thimbles, turning that into my trash cans. I'm making small objects work for me.
Yeah, I immediately started a podcast called Small Talk, and it's me and Aaron and JPC as 6 inchers, and we just talk about what it means to be small. I also find a needle pretty quickly because spiders, and I train a mouse.
Oh yeah, to do
whatever.
Yeah, just whatever.
it's critical thinking.
I'm 6 inches tall. First thing I do, find a person who's 50 feet tall, get a little Master Blaster thing going. I'm sitting on their ear, and I'm like, you have to kill the president. And they're like, oh, I kill president now. And, you know, and she's like, I guess I'm evil.
That brings you one step closer to your highest aspiration, which is to be a devil on someone's shoulder.
Yes,
that's
absolutely
been your dream forever.
I would watch a Manchurian candidate with 6-inch people. I think that's kind of fun.
Okay, Legati asks, your fellow castmates have offended a witch. What curse does she bestow upon each of them in retribution? So we have to think of a witch's curse for each of our castmates.
I've never heard curse and bestow in the same sentence.
Okay.
Because I always think of bestow as like a gift.
Yeah, like a boon.
Yeah. What curse does the witch put on all of
them? Are we joking, or am I thinking about what actually would hurt you?
is a witch's curse kind of like a genie's wish, where it's like you get something that's like kind of what you want, but like not, is that what a witch's curse is, or is a witch's curse just like straight up bad?
I think it's just bad. So if you think of like Into the Woods, Aaron, the curse is like, what is it? If they eat something in the garden, then I can't remember.
Oh, I don't know in what you're fucking talking about.
Well, in Stephen King's Thinner,
okay,
somebody is cursed thinner and they just keep wasting away. So that's not good.
Sure. Sure. Yeah, because it's like, I was like, oh yeah, I'd give you like really bad like cancer or something. I don't think that's the spirit. Like for Adol, I would be like, a witch's curse for Adol would be that he can only like talk in puns. Like he has to like he has
did that
all
already
communication.
Happen?
So you figured out my curse. It'd and be, now it is be... broken. Ah, I can breathe deep.
Basically, I'm making Adel's life 5% different with his witch's curse.
Which is just self-awareness.
Yeah.
All right, I have a real one for both of you, and I'm really sorry.
Oh, please.
But for JPC, the curse I would put on you is I would make it so that your finances were messy forever.
No.
Like
no!
Everything that you do, like everything that you try to work out, you always like... The numbers.
My curse is I can only ever just look at what's in my checking account and have to go based off of that. That would drive me insane.
That's what would kill you emotionally. Yeah. And then for Adel, I'd have it be like that Twilight Zone episode where you're never able to read again. You can't consume another story for the rest of your life, whether it be TV, movie, or book.
Kill me.
I know. I'm not proud of this. I'm just
what's
saying
up,
what I
sucks,
think would
yeah.
break both of your spirits.
Aaron, if I may, what's up? This sucks. I think I would make JPC at random points in his life. He never knows when. It could be twice in 30 seconds. It could be twice in 30 years. Suddenly gills pop up on his neck and he can only breathe underwater.
Gotta throw my head in a bucket real quick. I always carry like a 7-pound, like a 7-gallon
Home Depot bucket.
just full of water. Hey, sorry. Might have gills. This is my personal item. I checked my other bag.
Must love dogs, might have gills.
I understand that I can't bring liquid on the plane, but I did fill it up with a little water bottle refill thing. It got through security, so it's just water. Just loose water in a bucket.
I would love to bring an empty Home Depot bucket on a plane as my personal item. It has to be like, why?
Can they not? They can't stop you from that, right? They can.
I guess not.
They absolutely can, and they would.
And then for Aaron, my curse would be anywhere she goes in life where she stops to like buy something or like goes to an ATM or something or waits at a restaurant. Anytime where there's any amount of wait to get goods or services, even if there's nobody there, as soon as she stops and stands to wait for the goods or services, a woman behind her taps her on the shoulder and goes, excuse me, there's a line here.
Oh, yeah.
And then Aaron has to go behind all these people who are suddenly there.
Absolutely not. No. I knock the witch's wand out of her hand. And I go, nope.
My
actually,
wand.
No.
No one's ever thought to do that.
No, you're not going to do that.
Adel, your witch's curse for me is that you can't own any items. Like, you can't have
you can't pick up an item.
You can't be gifted a gift. You can't just like have a thing. You can't like see something in a shop and be like, oh, I'd love to have that. You can't
I'm
have
ruined.
Any of it. You can't
my
have
stuff
any of
is
that.
My life.
And Aaron, your witch's curse is that you are always, no matter what you do, you are always 17 minutes late to whatever is going on in your life.
No!
And I know that that's going to drive Aaron crazy because Aaron's constantly going to be feeling bad about that. Like, she'll never be able to feel like, she'll never be able to be at peace with me. Like, I'll just be a little late to everything and that'll be fine.
No. Knock that wand out of your stupid hand, stupid witch. No. No, stupid witch. No.
Such a rough number. Like,
it's such a rough number.
So
because
late.
It's like,
it's so late.
It's too late for anyone to be like, it's okay. And it's also like, it's past 15 minutes. So it's like, it's past the point of like, this is rude now.
it's past the grace period, but it's also before people would just leave.
Leave, yeah.
So they'll still be there. But they, because if you're like, you'll be an hour late to everything. It's like, that is not terrible because most stuff I show up to, people will be gone. And I never have to look them in the eyes. But 17 minutes is tough.
17 minutes means that you'll probably meet people when they're grabbing their coats to leave. And so, like, they're putting on their coats because they're like, she's not coming. And then you're like, hey. And
they're like
oh, no,
we
guess,
just got excited about getting to be able to leave. Oh, God. That's a nightmare number. You literally picked the nightmare number.
And Aaron, as you're apologizing, someone taps you on the shoulder and goes, there's a line.
We're actually
here.
In line.
Oh, kill me. Oh, that sounds horrible.
This next one comes from, I'll say Narmail? Narmail? Narmail.
Narwhal.
Says, Narmail. Says, what animal would you assign to each other as their witch's familiar? So we're all, in this scenario, I think we're all witches.
Mm.
And we have to have like a little like witch's familiar that we're assigning to each other.
Yeah. I think, oh boy, Aaron, I don't know why, but the first thing that popped in my head, this could be way off base, but I'm going to go with like what my brain produced, which is a koala in a three-piece suit.
Yeah, that's exactly right, Adolf. That's a really good one.
I don't
know
why.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, I don't know
why. And all the pieces are pants.
Yeah.
They're all vests.
Oh, man. And then for JPC, the first thing that comes, I feel like I could dig deeper and like truly figure out what your animal would be. Mm-hmm. But again, first thing that popped into my head was a cockroach in rollerblades.
With those like douchebag sunglasses on. What are those like?
With like wraparound Oakleys. Yeah.
Yeah. Wraparound Oakleys.
My familiar is probably not going to be as useful to me in making my potions and stuff.
And every time you go to talk
to it, funny character.
Every time you go to talk to it, it's just dumping back a pack of Pop Rocks.
Yeah, and like the liter of orange soda knockoff from a grocery store.
You're welcome.
Let's see.
Okay, mine kind of sucks. Aaron, do you have? I think here's one. I think Adel. You, my man, are getting. I think Adel. I think you get an owl. I think an owl suits you pretty well.
I'll take that.
I also just recently, I mean, maybe this is why owls are on the brain. I recently watched like a little video of like people with a line of microphones and different birds, and they're like calling the birds, and the birds are flying over the microphones, and the owl flew silent, like. You could not hear the wings beat at all when the owl flew, and it kind of like blew my mind.
They're
but anyway,
incredible hunters,
I think they're really great hunters. They're like very smart, like they're very intuitive. So, Adel, you get an owl.
I'm always breaking my neck.
Just you're always breaking your neck to get that other look. You're that guy from the girlfriend meme. Aaron, you are gonna get a. Does a rhesus monkey have a tail like a tail that can grab things?
Yeah,
whatever,
I think so.
whatever the monkey is, I think it's like it's the continental divide. Like monkeys in South America don't have it, but monkeys in Africa do have it. But you get the monkey that can hold things with their tail, Aaron.
Prehensile.
I thought you were going to be like,
yes.
You get a monkey that can't hold shit.
You get a really fumbly monkey. Aaron gets a fumbly monkey.
Fumbly and... monkey sounds like a board game.
Aaron gets a fumbly monkey. Adel gets a really cool owl.
That's so funny. Adel, hear me out, because I think owl's really good for Adel, but I'm going to do a baby elephant wearing a red beanie.
Okay. Yep.
And if you get what I'm talking about, then you get it. If you don't, then you don't get it. And then for JPC, what are those fish that have like the light at the end of their antenna?
Anglerfish.
At the bottom of the ocean, but you're obviously like living and existing above the ocean, so you're just carrying around a dead anglerfish.
Dead, Aaron. It's in my 7-gallon Home Depot bucket that I bring on the airplane.
Yeah, yours is in a Home Depot bucket and miserable. That's yours.
Monsters of the sea.
You guys give me a cockroach and a fish. Witches familiars are like going to help me with my potions and stuff. Both of these things are just like chores. The first thing I'm doing with both of these is flushing them down the toilet.
No,
I say goodbye.
We built you friends.
I'm a solo witch. I'm an unaffiliated witch.
That's so fennel.
Okay. So here we go. Aaron, did you just say that's so fennel?
No, I my internet cut out a little bit. So I don't know if you.
That's so fennel.
I said that's so funny.
That's so fennel.
That's so fennel.
So JPC's witch has an unfamiliar.
Yes. Okay. This one is from Finn.
Well,
they, them.
JPC, can I actually give you what I actually think you would be? That was
Please.
Meant to hurt you. I think you'd be one of those like really
weird.
Muscular. It would be one of those really muscular big lizards that like
Ooh,
move
I
like this
super
with their arms.
Like
this,
yeah.
Yours would be like a super jacked lizard. That's my actual answer for you.
This sounds like an animal parade. We have a super jacked lizard, a fumbly monkey.
Yeah, and I guess the real one for me, for you, JPC, would be sort of like a bumblebee the size of like a Dodge Durango, but in full armor.
Thank you, guys. That's all I asked for. These are much better. Finn, they, them asks, if there was a soup named after you, what would be the ingredients in the soup? What's the Aaron Keefe, the Adel Rafi, and the John Patrick Cohen?
Is sushi soup a thing? Can it be?
Okay. Yeah, sure. I think a sushi soup would be fucking awful, but why not? I'm not the biggest soup fan.
If you had a soup, what would be in it? I really love potatoes. I love cream of potato soup. I love cream of broccoli soup. I love some clam chowders if it's like made in house. I'm not gonna eat canned clam chowder. This is tough.
I gotta say, I mean, this is the first. I'm not a big soup fan, so the first thing that came to my mind. My name is JPC, so we're gonna do jalapenos, potatoes, carrots. It's gonna be like a spicy potato stew.
Yes. Okay. I also love a good bisque. So my name is Adel. I'm gonna go with artichoke.
Artichoke. That's so fiddle.
Durian, asparagus, and lettuce.
Artichoke, durian, asparagus, and lettuce.
Yeah, Adel.
That's a good soup.
Aaron, how about what's
ew? Aaron, go ahead. E-R-I-N. Aaron.
Oh God.
You can also do Keef. Keef also egg four plants, letters. You can do eight.
Rutabaga.
Can't I just pick a soup that I like?
No,
it's gonna be egg rutabaga.
Oh, gross. Eggplant.
Eggplant.
What are they called? Rhubarb.
Eggplant, rhubarb.
Ice. I give up. Kale.
Eggplant, rhubarb, ice, nacho cheese.
Nacho cheese. Fennel. So the...
That's fennel.
I would want to be like a warm squash autumnal, maybe with some apples in it, soup. Something that is like cozy and warm.
Apple or pumpkin makes a great bisque or soup. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Okay, I want to good soups. Go ahead.
I want to hit two more before we end. And these are actually, this is all the questions that I have. So the next one of these will probably be like in like February. So go to the Chatterbox suggestions or Chatterbox channel in the Discord and ask us some more questions. This one also comes from Legati. Legati asks, what kind of room would your secret room hidden behind a bookcase be? So, you know, you pull the book, it swivels around. What is your room on the other side of that?
100%. It's like a hunting lodge, but I don't need the taxidermied animals. That'd be fun, but I don't need that. But a hunting lodge in terms of like a great stone fireplace, big, huge leather couches with like furs on it, books That's everywhere. Amazing. It's like built-in shelves, with books everywhere, no screens in sight, no internet access, just like go in there. It's very hygge.
Hygge.
Go in there, relax, and read, and warm myself by the fire.
Mine would be like a room that's totally like air controlled, but it has that greenhouse ceiling and wall, so it's like all windows, and there's just greenery surrounding it. And so when it rains, there's just like a big comfy bed in there that you can listen to the rain, and there's only like warm, glowy underlight in the room. Otherwise, but a totally zen place. JPC, what scary nonsense do you have?
So it's very specific, but the room before you pull the book is like, I want it. It doesn't matter what's in the room that before you pull the book, obviously there's a big bookcase, but there is a big floor like to ceiling mirror, like a huge mirror is the focal point of the room. So it's very obvious if you're in that room, you're going to see yourself in the mirror. When you pull the bookcase and it spins around, it's the exact same room. To the letter, it is the exact same room.
Except
but I have a specialty mirror installed in that room that makes it look like you are Adam Driver. So you are going to pull the bookcase, you're going to spin around, you're going to be in that room, and you're going to look at yourself in the mirror and be like, whoa, am I Adam Driver? And you are going to think that you have body swapped with Adam Driver so that when you leave that room and go into the rest of the house, which I guess has to then be an exact mirror duplicate of the previous entire house, and then you're just going in no other mirrors in that house, though. So then you're just going to assume that you are Adam Driver and like live accordingly when you body swap.
At first, I felt guilty for assuming that your thing would be nonsense. And then you started speaking and I went, no.
You proved my
point. No.
Aaron, all right, do you believe me now that I killed JPC last year and this is just a rat on PCP?
Yes, and that's what we talked about while you were gone.
All right, here's this. The final one is from Normel again, and they are asking, and Aaron, I think this is probably one that's like mainly for you, who has to be cut/edited the most in the kid-friendly episodes? Or who has a harder time watching their mouth. My daughter loves these episodes and are my most replayed because of her.
I would think I'm probably the one who just slips into it the most, I would think.
Well, I curse the most. I have the least control over my cursing. Oh, yeah, by far. And also,
Do you not remember the corporate gig that we did that was no cursing?
And Aaron cursed?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't remember that.
It was on Zoom. It was during the pandemic. And they were like, no cursing. Oh. And Aaron like got one scene in and she was like, fuck this shit.
Yes,
and
I do.
Your eyes went, ooh.
I do remember that. And I think I immediately sent a text to the text chain that said, just a reminder, no cursing.
And I didn't see it until after because my phone was off. So I have a hard time.
You're at work. Like, yeah. You should keep your phone off.
I totally forgot about that.
I have a really hard time not cursing. And I edited both those kid-friendly episodes. So I'd say I'd edit out a couple curses. Definitely the first time around of mine. But I will say, Adel loves innuendo so much and towing the line that I will... Oddly, and who knew? JPC is the best at being kid friendly, but unfortunately, that might be the answer. It's definitely like I'm the least kid friendly, and then Adel is way more kid friendly, and then JPC.
Here's what I'll say too, in my defense, because you would assume that I would be the worst at it, but I did do comedy sports for like a decade, and comedy sports is all friendly. It's like all ages comedy.
They'll brown bag you, right?
And they'll brown bag you if you... And I only ever got a couple brown bags. And one of them I got when I was in high school, and I said shacking up because I did not understand the sexual connotation of shacking up. I just thought it meant like living together or whatever. So that was on me. But I'm very comfortable like improvising without going into like, I don't know, whatever. Which is like sexual or adult, whatever context, which is also probably why I do it so much, because it is fun to do, but I have no problem not doing it.
You mostly dabble in psychological chaos.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yes.
But I will say the first kid-friendly episode with like Terror the Clown or whatever, that Adel, that was an Adel invention. Where he tried to come up, he came up with like a crazy psycho clown in the kid-friendly episode, and he kept bringing it up, so it had to stay in the episode.
Here's my thing. My thing is when I meet a kid, if I'm hanging out with like, I won't say their names, but if I'm hanging out with like Rob's kids or something, you know, I'm like, hey, what's up? How's it going? What are you watching? Anything fun? How's that sandwich? Is it good? Like, I'm not like, hey, buddy, is your toes warm? Like, I'm like, these are little adults, and they'll appreciate me just talking to them like maniacs.
There is a difference between you saying, like, I just talk to kids like they're people, and the other thing, which is be like, I just talk to kids like they're people. I'm like, hey, so the other day I was, like, jerking off to some porn, and I'm into some disgusting shit. Like, you can talk to them like they're people, but only about, like, kid stuff.
All right. So Terrifying Clowns isn't kid stuff?
God, you know, I was having a nightmare where I was just falling. And then right before I woke up, I hit the ground. Splat. Anyway, what is it? 7 o'clock? All right. You guys, kids have bed, so I get to bed.
And don't forget, if you die in your sleep, you die in real life.
That's so funny.
We hope to do many more of those kid-friendly episodes. And we also hope to accidentally do a kid-friendly episode. We hope to, in hindsight, do an episode and then later be like, you know what? Kids could listen to this one because we didn't do anything bad in it.
I do think, and you two can let me know if I'm on the right track here. I do think since we've done a few kid-friendly episodes, we should do some octogenarian-friendly episodes. We should do some cousin-friendly episodes. We should do some like doctor-friendly episodes.
One
some
for mommies, like, one for daddies.
Yes.
Yeah.
Some like nature-loving friendly episodes. So I really think we should start to theme more of the episodes for the different walks of life who might be put off by what we typically produce.
Because right now, I think the count is we have two kid-friendly episodes and 500 pervert-friendly episodes.
Yes. Yeah, and that's the breakdown. So,
okay. Well, Aaron, speaking of breakdown, would you break us down? We'll drop you like a little beat. Would you give us a little sort of? I think you said you were working on a rap.
Neptune.
Okay. Will you sing all of Mariah Carey? Okay. Okay.
Dang it, that's the wrong theme again. I mean, they are really similar, dude. That was Clue Crew. So now here's a who's who. The relatable host was Aaron Keith. If you rolled your eyes, it's because of Adel Refai or that other young guy, fucking JPC. Casey Tony edited what everybody said. And Emily Cardamus did the logo. Arnie Parrott sang and wrote every single friggin' note of 1, 2, 3, 4. Hate riddle, riddles, Clue Crew.